from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
It's the lunchtime hour on Tuesday, and we're back on track. I know we were raising money for the Jimmy Fund last weekend, but we are back with our friend Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston. It was brought to us by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. Tommy, good afternoon.
Andrew, good afternoon. How are you today?
We're fantastic today. I guess better than Matthew Judon, who shot his way out of town and is not getting the contract that I think he thought he was going to get at least right away. You know, now that the Judon thing is done, and you've heard from him now, Tommy, we've heard him talk about what the negotiations were like with the Celtics. Has Judon said anything in the last 24 hours that has altered or changed whatever opinion you may have had on this whole situation?
No, and I think my opinion kind of diverged from yours and, to a lesser extent, Christian's. I thought throughout this, you had a guy who was carrying on a holdout contract impasse, I should say, in a unique way. He made his points mildly clear, but he was also out there at work, you know, making $6.5 million, which is probably 15, well, 10, 12 less than he probably ought to. And he was out there taking part in practice and kind of working his ass off, except for the little dust up, which, you know, he tamped down his ego and came back 2 days later and partook in things. So to me, you've had a guy who was very realistic about the fact that I signed a contract. I'll have to play for that. And I thought that that was unusual in 2024 professional sports, that you had a guy who actually was acknowledging the things that we so often say in the media and his fans. Hey, well, he signed the contract. He actually was saying that and was doing it. So I thought he carried it on with a level of dignity that you guys might roll your eyes at that word, but it was unusual compared to a lot of contract impasses.
So, Tom, what does it tell you about this organization, Elliott Wolf, new management, new head coach, when you have two offers with the same deal, the Chicago Bears and the Atlanta Falcons, and they allow the player to pick which team they want to be traded to?
It tells me that they're very, very concerned about how players feel about them, that they're hopeful that their treatment of Judon filters back through the organization, through the locker room, and to other players around the league, and allows them to say, you know what, they'll do right by us. So maybe it's an effort to make themselves a more appealing destination because of the way they quote unquote treat players, as opposed to, you know, saying, well, we're going to send you wherever we have to and get the highest compensation we can, which is kind of your edict as a general manager anyway, you know, to do that. But it's also a bigger picture approach. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if it's the right way to do it. But that's what it tells me as to what their motivation was.
Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston here with Gresham Fourier. Are you surprised the Brandon Ayuk situation is not settled yet?
No, he doesn't seem like he knows what he wants to do. And that's why, again, and maybe I'm erring too frequently on the side of the team for your guys' preferences. You know, we've crossed swords on it before. But I oftentimes, from my position and vantage point, I look at what the team is thinking, and I did it when Bill was there, and I often say, well, I get that. And I do. I get why they pushed away from the table on Ayuk. I get why they pushed away from the table on Ridley and said, you know what? He's just not that into us. So I'm not surprised about Ayuk. They looked at it and said, you know what? He doesn't know what he wants. He definitely doesn't want to be here, but he doesn't know what he wants either. So let's get out of this thing.
So I think it's a week from today. I want to say, is that final cuts? You got to get rid of like, what, 37 guys or something like that, Tom? Is that the right timeline?
Yes. Next Tuesday at 4, I believe it is.
So
Quick Slants launches next Tuesday too. So be ready for that.
Okay.
15th season.
All right, I'm going to put that, make sure I record that just in case I miss it and I can follow back on it. But out of all the... I guess with all those guys that are going to get cut, is there anybody that you think would make the team that normally you wouldn't? Like the tight end Bell, who suddenly jumps into like a playing position because there's so many guys that are hurt?
Yeah, you know what? Stay in that room and say the tight end Mitch Wilcox. I would assume Bell is probably going to make it, given that he's a seventh round pick and it's. Or even at the very least, practice squad.
Yeah.
But the kid Mitch Wilcox, if Austin Hooper, and Hooper was back out of practice yesterday, but the availability of Hunter Henry is in some doubt as he deals with a leg injury. So I would think a guy like Mitch Wilcox, who has had probably the most inconsistent hands of anybody in camp, he would be a guy who I will look at and say, you know, he'll probably make the team. Other positions, by injury, I mean, there's going to be offensive linemen who are on this team that probably wouldn't make any other team in the league based upon their preseason performances. So, you know, if whoever the Liam Fornadell, whoever snapped that ball last week to Bailey Zappe, the gentleman, Liam.
Yeah.
Fornadell.
Yeah.
I mean, but they're in a position there on the offensive line where they have absolutely no center depth behind David Andrews. And that's one thing that we were talking about yesterday. I walked up to Mike Reese and Phil Perry as we're watching the practice, and you have May taking snaps from the second center. I can't remember who exactly it was. It wasn't Leverett. It might have been Fornadell. And I'm like, the ball gets back to him so slowly and so haphazardly that there's a level of concentration he has to spend on the shotgun snap that puts him about a half step behind in the routes. And this is where we're talking about the lack of preparation on the offensive line that's kind of hamstrung his development.
Tommy, is there or are there any veterans that are in danger of being let go? And I'll allow you to come up with your definition of veteran, because I know it isn't like the teams of years past. Maybe like a tenured player, I guess we could say, who might be in a little bit of danger of not making the roster. Is there anybody even like that?
I would imagine Tyquan Thornton might be on a little bit thin ice, but he's actually had, I would say, a B camp. He hasn't been out a ton. He missed a little bit of time with a soft tissue injury, but he's been back out there, and he's really their only full-on speedster that you would say, okay, he can really, you have to really pay attention to him because he can run past people. But otherwise, I would think that, you know, as a second-round pick going into his third season, he could be somebody because of his injury history that you look at and say, yeah, he might be in trouble. But, you know, really, other than that, there's injuries that have cropped up in spots that have, you know, certainly on the defensive line that have moved people up, offensive line as well. Tight end, no. But I got nothing. I mean, I haven't gone too in-depth right now. I mean, I'm kind of enmeshed in the quarterback stuff still,
right,
as opposed to potential cuts.
Let me ask you this. Where do you land on, say, the kicking situation? Because it's that appears to be a real competition, regardless of which way Mayo is feeling one day or another.
I think they're giving Joey Sly every chance to win the job, and I understand the logic behind that, mm-hmm, because they watched Chad Ryland be tremendously inconsistent and seemingly having a mental block at the end of last year because the kicks he was missing and how badly he was missing them were not tied to anything mechanical, one would think. It seemed like he just was not up to the pressure of it. So if you have a good camp from Sly, which he has absolutely had, and you release him and say, well, this guy was a fourth-round pick, Ryland, let's keep him, and Ryland starts missing kicks, you're going to say, why did I do that? I watched this last year. Why would I ever have done something I knew I had seen before and keep Chad Ryland? So I think they're giving Joey Sly every chance to win the job because they've already seen that Ryland can melt a little.
So we're talking to Tommy Curran, and Tom, I'm assuming that you heard some of the audio from Tom Brady last week during his Fanatics interview with Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, I actually really like the receiver stuff that he discussed, but yes, I did.
Yeah, the receiver stuff. The other aspect was when he talked about teams who play quarterbacks too early, and it was almost an impassioned plea for them not to do it, at least from my perspective, and which brings me to Drake May with the whole idea that it's a real possibility that he's going to play. I just wonder, like, if Jerod Mayo either talked to Brady, you know, confided in him, asked his advice, or saw that and said, you know what, like, I'm going to listen to the best that ever do it, and I'm going to stick with my plan, which I think ultimately started with him deciding not to force and rush him, and him being Drake May to play. Do you think that those two things are connected together at all?
I don't. I think that they're so committed to this prior to anything that Brady would have said. Maybe at some point over the, you know, the Brady retirement ceremony, he might have emphasized that he thought that they were doing the right thing and taking their time, but they really launched the entire May era saying it's going to take some time. And I think that Alex Van Pelt is indicating that throughout, because as Mayo said, he's the head coach of the offense in many ways. So I think he's not the deciding vote. I think Mayo is still the deciding vote, but he is going to give his input as to where his department stands. And his department is saying over and over again, as we see on the field, not ready yet. We don't want him out there yet. Take your time. I think Elliott Wolf is the same way. And I would imagine that ownership too, while it has the feeling of we want to get him out there, we want to have fannies in the seats and enthusiasm and start to sparkle, they're also looking at it and saying, yep, we just had this with Mac. And Mac was a young player, and yes, he was okay in his first year, but once you put him into an adverse situation in the second year, he melted and was ruined. Zach Wilson, melted, ruined. Tua, nearly ruined. So they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So they don't want to ruin the third overall pick.
No, and Tommy, just quickly, I think one of the parts of the discussion that has been forgotten about is once you go with May, there is no turning back. So if he drowns early, it's not, well, we'll throw Jacoby in there and then rehab the kid. Not that you would have ruined him, don't get me wrong. But I kind of think when you make the call to go to May, you're really not going back. I don't know. Maybe you see it differently.
No, they did that with that was the whole thing with Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick a few years ago. And then Tua had to get benched. And we heard Tua's feelings on it this week as he talked about Brian Flores and the way he was treated and felt, you know, was, even if you're not having Mayo or Alex Van Pelt telling Drake May you suck every morning, as Tua says Brian Flores was doing with him, you still have a feeling of failure that you had in your rookie year that you're going to have to weather in some way. Look, again, I go back to Drew Bledsoe over and over and over again because there are so many similarities. I believe Bledsoe was 20, came into the league, Gresh. You were paying close attention to this franchise at the time. And he had the physical and mental makeup to weather it. He was very smart, mature, stoic, flatline guy, and he could deal with it. Is May the same way? I would be inclined to say probably. But once you're exactly right, though. Once you make the move, you've made the move.
Yeah. I think the other thing, too, that, you know, with Bledsoe is he was a third-year junior who played a ton of football, and May is still trying to play catch-up in a lot of ways. Well, Tommy, it's always fun, friend. I know that you'll be on with Jones and Mego Thursday afternoon. Thank you, as always, and we will catch you down the road.
All right, guys. Great stuff. Thank you.
There we go. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. We're really just in a little bit of a holding pattern here, more for when will May get in and how will the offense look the first 2 weeks with Brissett. Although I did mention this to Hart yesterday. I think you and I co-sign on one thing. Let's not do the whole Tua Fitz deal. Like, whenever they're playing in, you know, when they're playing Seattle at home, I hope, like, you know, the second series of the second quarter isn't, oh, well, I swear we're going to get Drake in here.
Yeah, no.
No.
That's a problem.
It's like being half pregnant. There is no thing. You're either in or you're out right now.
Either give it to him and let him finish it, or don't give it to him at all.
Totally, totally, totally with you on that. We've got some Red Sox to get to as well. And, of course, you on the phones at 617-779-7937.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Lighter side of sports coming up. We got a little pomp and circumstance and food mixed in. It will be a food discussion, no question. How about last night, the Red Sox lose in dramatic fashion. 5-4 in Houston. They blew a 2-0 lead. They blew a 4-2 lead. And right now it's just the bullpen that is letting this team down. I kind of jokingly said earlier, does the pitching plan end after 120 games?
Oh, it feels like it.
Yeah, because right now, brother, this bullpen, they'd have a hard time getting the WEEI All-Stars out.
And every single person, like every single player that has kind of had a hand in screwing up at one point in time. That's why they're one of the worst teams at closing out. Of all the, when it comes to blown saves, they like lead the majors since the trade deadline. It's pretty remarkable how many games that they have lost.
30th in the league with 16 meltdowns since the deadline.
Yeah, I believe it's 12 blown saves. The next highest is 8.
Golly.
So 4 more than the second place team.
Which, who knows who they are? Like that.
Yeah, are they even in contention? Or?
I was going to say that second place team in terms of blown saves, for all we know, could be the White Sox, for God's sakes.
It honestly might sneaky be the Yankees.
Oh, really?
It might be. That's Clay actually, Holmes, I think, has 10 blown saves this year.
Yeah, that's actually kind of funny.
That's fine. No, I'm still in it. I'm still kind of, not to be the whole, like, you know, ultimate optimist, because that's usually not what I am, you know, but like I still kind of, man, I feel really weird saying this.
Do you love your contacts?
No, they're actually bugging the hell out of me today. I still believe in this team.
Oh, boy.
I still believe in
them. When did you start believing?
I still believe. You know what I did? Well,
what's that?
I will say, like, I think way before, like last week, speaking to Cora, I felt like there was a calmness and, you know.
He was just happy to see us.
True.
There was
still,
that, too.
I do think, like, as far as, like, what his team, what. Okay, instead of inheriting like a completely stacked team like he did when he first won a World Series, right? I feel like he's kind of has the guys that he wants, and he's kind of, you know, mentored them the right way, and they still make mistakes. They still make stupid mistakes, still have way too many errors. But overall, whatever it is that he's telling them, they're buying into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with that, I think he's, you know, happy. And he is the ultimate optimist. You hear him after every game. You know, whatever bad happens, he paints a rosier picture. And the picture that he was painting, you know, after last night's loss was that he likes the way the starters are pitching now. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's pitching well. Bale, good outing. How good outing. You know, we just got to fix that one little sneaky little crappy little section of our team.
Has he gone to the, we can make all the pitches. You know, they
that
can
would
make
be fun.
All the
is
pitches.
Is that the equivalent?
Like Belichick, yeah.
Is that, you can make all the throws?
Yeah.
The equivalent would be,
be like talking about a quarterback on the other side. Well, you know.
They can hit all the spots.
He can make all the pitches.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it would
You're
be.
Right. Hit all the spots. There you go.
Yeah, but he just can't strike anybody out.
Right.
He keeps giving up home runs.
Right. But it's the lay it over the middle of the plate for you. But in all seriousness, this really is a massive week for the Red Sox in that don't end up 5.5 back by the end of the week. When Kansas City starts to play a tougher schedule. But things aren't exactly easy for the Red Sox the rest of the way either. And that's where you can get caught up in kind of that schedule paralysis of analysis. Well, they've got these teams coming up, and we got these teams coming up, and everything will be okay. And then it takes one injury or one bad series or one guy to go down to just overturn the apple cart. And this is where I feel like the Red Sox are kind of hanging off the side of the cliff a little bit right now. They're kind of hanging on for dear life. And if they can just hang
like
there.
One finger coming off.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know,
yeah.
You only got two fingers.
It's kind of like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons, right? You know, the one finger slips and then the other one. But every once in a while, somebody would come along and save the coyote. And I feel like that's what the Red Sox have to do this week. Find a way to hang on that ledge. Hope at the end of the week somebody can kind of pull you up, and then hope that other teams end up helping you out in terms of Kansas City and Minnesota. And even if those two teams beat the crap out of each other, you know, you're only going to gain on one of them, but you still got to go out and do your part. But this feels like the closest they've been to slipping off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah, it feels, you know, it's almost shoehorned in between the how you got swept by the Astros the first time. Right. And then you kind of make up for it and you get some wins, and then you play the Astros again, and then you lose the way you did
at
the end. Like in a game that you probably should have won.
With your closer on the mound, admittedly in a tie game. And there was the, you know, the dopey manager on the other side opened it up for Cora to be able to slide Yoshida right in there with no issue whatsoever. The DH was coming up. Like, it couldn't have been more perfect. And then Yoshida ekes out that two-run bomb, 4-2. There you go. You have the lead. And then, of course, you get some defensive issues and some of the things that have really sort of bit the Red Sox in the ass this year. You mentioned something about the possibility of the Red Sox maybe winning as much as 88 or 89 games. Now, last week, there was the comment in the Chris Gasper column of the, well, it's already been a successful season for the Red Sox. If they win 88 games and don't make the playoffs, I still have to sign that that's still a pretty good year, given our expectations, given the youngs that have kind of stepped up. Now, if you're just a, you know, 500, it's acceptable. It would be acceptable. But if the Red Sox do end up playing well the rest of the way, and I think that is a hurdle they have to jump over, no more late season swoons. Man, if they can do that and get to 88 wins and they still miss the playoffs, how can I thumb my nose at that kind of season?
Yeah, so it's two games in every series the rest of the season. Like, if you're thinking about, like, how do I mentally get through?
So win the series.
Yeah, you got to win the series, right? I don't know. Do they have any four-game series left? I mean, don't even worry about it. Don't look at it.
They have five with the Blue Jays.
They have five with the Blue Jays.
Next week is the makeup game.
Ooh, when's
that?
Wait,
so it's supposed to be a four-gamer?
It's supposed to be a four-gamer. The one that got rained out is now Monday afternoon. So I think it's really a five-game series of the Blue Jays coming up.
Is that an 11:10 a.m. start on the Shaws and Star Market?
It is a 205 start, so a 105
pregame.
Well,
you just shut your dirty mouth right now then with that answer. Yes. I needed to hear 11:30 pregame, Nick. What are we doing here?
25-minute show?
It is a, next Monday. It's a 205. Actually, there will be. Will we go through pregame again? Because the game's just suspended.
I believe so.
Oh, it's great.
That's our Patriot Monday. That's right after the game.
Yeah. What's that now?
It's right after. That would be a Patriot, an official. No, it'd be. Yeah, because yesterday
be after
was
the final preseason game. Yeah. So
lots to talk about in that game.
So it'd be the completion of the suspended game, then the regular game, and then three more after that. And August 29th, by the way, is the Dave Roberts Steele bobblehead night.
Really?
Yeah.
Make sure we get to that one.
And the Monday night one is the women's celebration over at Fenway.
What is that? What is that like?
I do not know.
Very curious.
I am too.
Women's celebration?
I think maybe it's just a celebration of women.
Well, I'm into that.
I don't think anybody would
sign up for that.
Of course, now I'm scouring the schedule to see if. I guess that'll be our last early game of the year. This Monday makeup.
Is there a Hawk Tua special ceremonial pitch anywhere?
I'm not
opening
sure.
Pitch by the Hawk Tua girl.
I don't think so. Oh no! A major league team is already. Used her like
no,
the Mets
know,
used
the Mets
her
did,
so
yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Do you know that she was?
We have Olympians in our backyard that we can tap into. Go get the kid from Worcester who does the Rubik's Cube in like 15 seconds
or
whatever.
Horse guy, isn't he from Worcester?
No, I know, but I'm saying is that he is a he's one of those Rubik's Cube geniuses.
He?
Yeah,
oh,
does in like 15 seconds.
You know it. Do you
Billy? I saw Billy Lanny one time. Try to do that Rubik's Cube thing in 15 seconds, and it got thrown across the parking lot.
Okay, there is.
He just got so frustrated with it was effing.
I used to think that there was like.
And I was right behind him, by the way.
So I used to think that there was like a. Like, guys would look at the Rubik's Cube, and they could just. Like, Mookie Betts is the big Rubik's Cube guy. Like, you can take it, he can fix it in like, I don't know, 30 seconds. But there literally is like the old school video games, Ms. Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, there's like a legit pattern to it. So if you just know the pattern and you practice it in your room endlessly, like all these other guys who can do it, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, it's like that Press Your Luck documentary I mentioned you to watch.
They broke the code.
That guy knew what it was.
Yeah.
He knew.
And here I am trying to do, like, I can do one side of a Rubik's Cube. One side. I don't think I've ever in my life gotten the two sides.
You don't want to mess up that one side, but you have to mess up that one side.
I know. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And then I can't get the other side back.
I never, the Rubik's Cube was like, hot in the 80s for a time, and then it became like they would add the fourth row to it. You know what I mean? They made it bigger, or After a while, you kind of... It should be something that you phase out of.
It's like the, what is it, the fidget spinner? Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Those are like a, that, but that was like maybe 10 years ago.
Do you know the kid that created the fidget spinner? Like, I think ended up.
Was autistic?
No, but.
ADD?
It cost him, I think, 20 cents.
Right, he's actually getting royalties from that
thing? Oh, no, this kid made like $2 million off of this fidget spinners thing. Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
If not, maybe a little bit more. To your point, they ran hot. For a period of time. So there we go. So there is the very latest with the Red Sox. Again, tomorrow it's a 2:05 or 2:10 first pitch. So we'll be out of here a little early. Watch. It'll be the day that it rains in Houston and the dome gets stuck open down there.
Listen, have you seen... Like I don't know what the I don't know if they changed the jerseys or if they're breathable or not. Like, I'm telling you, like, it looked hot as hell out there in Houston.
They are not breathable because holy you can cow. See the color difference.
Oh, it's amazing. And they're just dying to wear an undershirt.
Yesterday, Will Fleming started with I'm melting. I think he said it was like 110 or something like that. It was some ungodly number of hot.
I wish I would have been here yesterday, because there was a story, I don't know if you saw it, about an umpire who had his undershirt. So he had his jersey on or whatever it was, and it was like a half zip, and his undershirt was that picture of Kramer. Like the one famous picture of
really
Kramer
funny.
Where he's like...
they cut to him and he's making a call and you can literally just see Kramer's head.
Yeah, and the guy's like, that's Cosmo Kramer. That's Cosmo. He's wearing an undershirt with Cosmo Kramer on it. It was great.
Well, Andy Hart told us that he has passed whatever test
to be a ref.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We got to stop that. We got to put a stop to this.
No, what are you kidding me?
We got to put a stop to this.
No, we want this to happen.
He's going to get beat up.
No, we want
to. We want him to get beat up?
No, well, yeah. But it'd be funny, wouldn't it?
It would be.
But no.
Oh, there it is. Look at Twitch right now.
I want, oh, that's fantastic. I want us to be the ones to be at Hart's first.
We may have to.
Event.
Just heckle
certainly
him.
Be confirmed as a homer. That's Kramer on his shirt.
The field's confirmed.
Look at a picture of Kramer on his shirt.
Yes, he does. It's Cosmo Kramer.
Dude, you think about this. Out of all the shirts this guy, he's probably our age. He's got to be in his 50s. So either he bought that shirt just recently or he's had it since he's been in high school.
I would say.
It's like, why, out of all the shirts to wear, like, I don't know if they regulate what your undershirt should be, but I would assume they normally do.
I mean, don't they bust Cora's balls for, like, Cora's got to put on, like, the faux jacket or the pullover because he doesn't have the real button-up uniform on.
Yeah, it's
got to
be, like, it's like Major League Baseball license, and he's got this, look, you see Kramer's head just right above the zipper.
It makes 53 years old.
He's our age. He's my age.
No, but it makes me wonder if there was some sort of snafu at the airport.
Where he lost his
luggage? Lost his bag or something like that.
So when did he go to, like, I don't know, Newberry Comics and grab like a Cosmo Kramer shirt.
Maybe that's what he had on, and he just threw the the little thing over top of it that said Big League Baseball, so he can go out and work.
I think that is nuts. Like, out of all the shirts, like, I mean, he's just sporting a Cosmo Kramer shirt, and it's just open to everybody. He's like a professional ref, like, professional umpire in Major League Baseball. He's sporting a Cosmo Kramer shirt.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, I got to say.
I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I mean, at least the guy could do his job.
I mean,
he's not like
amazing.
He's like Angel Hernandez. By the way, has anybody checked? Has the ratings gone down on baseball now that Angel Hernandez is not umping? Because I know he thought he was the game. I just wanted to drive home the point that baseball has clearly moved on and no one remembered this asshat.
It's like, worst. What does he think? Like, people were watching him just to see how many calls he would screw up?
You know what? In all seriousness, group discussion real quick, because Billy might have to go down the road of, like, some old NBA refs or whatever. Was there not a period of time in every sport where you thought the referee thought he was the show, right? Angel Hernandez in Big League Baseball. Let me give you one in the NBA. Joey Crawford. How many times did that bald little troll, you know, go out there and, like, point at somebody and do the whole triple hop to, like, throw them out? You're not in Major League Baseball. You're in the NBA.
Dick Pavetta in the NBA.
Dick Pavetta, really nice guy.
How about NFL?
Sean Hockley.
Sean Hockley. That's his son, right?
The other Hockley.
Ed Hockley. The old man.
Just showed off the guns.
Yeah, and there was one ref, damn it, who was always really, like, he really broke down the explanation. It wasn't Hockley. Hockley was more of the, damn, the guy's got pipes for like 60. But I'm trying, was it Johnny Greer maybe or someone like that? But there would always be that he would give you like the long explanation and stuff. But oh, yeah, I bet you hockey fans will probably hit us with 10 of them. Because I think especially for the hockey hardo, you know, like more than just Don Koharski, go have a donut, you fat pig, you know, that stuff. There's always those refs that kind of like showboat a little bit.
Well, I think like for football. What about, I look at Ed Hockley, like the whole Hardo move by him was like the fact that he literally could not find a shirt that was like the correct size.
He was Scott Peters, referee version.
Yeah. But he was never like long-winded, right? Who's the guy that says, they gave him a foul for giving him the business? Like that's the guy.
Oh, that's Ben Dreith, I do believe.
Oh, get out. Wow, I can't believe you pulled that out of your...
Well, because I think, and I might be wrong on this, but was Ben Dreith also the official when the Raiders and the Patriots in the 70s had the rough and the passer call on Sugar Bear Hamilton, I think it was?
Man, you're out of my league right now.
No, but I'm pretty sure, for some reason, I want to say that was Ben Dreith as well.
He tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there at the 15-yard penalty.
I love it. He just doesn't even know what to say.
7 for Boston. Both guys, 5 minutes each for fighting.
It was Ben Dreith.
That's awesome.
76 playoffs against Ray Sugar Bear Hamilton. It was Ben Dreith. That's why that name sticks in my head, because you remember that one. There you go. Don Koharski in the NHL. And then I love this one from the 857. That blonde mofo in the NHL. Wes McCauley. Somebody says there's a referee named Pierre Shampoo.
I believe it.
Chicken Nick, I need a fact check on that one. Nick would be the one that we would turn to for the hockey. Who was the NFL ref who would say to Brady, "Hey, babe"? I don't remember that.
Who was the isn't that the CBS? That's, what's his face?
Gene Steratore.
That's Gene Steratore.
Randall B just sent in. Steratore was like that too. But here's the thing. You know why nobody busts Steratore's balls? Because he did the NFL and college basketball.
Did he really?
You didn't know this?
I didn't think.
Gene Steratore might have done high-level NCAA tournament games, I do believe.
You may be right, because I think like even like during the NCAA tournament, he was still in this little man cave, you know, breaking down certain calls and reviews and stuff like that during the game.
He used to have the national championship game, didn't he?
Who? I'm looking up now. I don't think he did. I'm looking to see if there's anything on the college basketball end of it. It just says he was a Division I ref from 97 to 18. Did a Super Bowl. Oh, my God. I didn't know this. Do you know there was another NFL ref that did college games? You'll recognize the name. Bill Vinovich. He did college basketball, apparently, too. What?
That's pretty impressive.
That's
way too many rules to memorize.
Agreed.
It's way too much stuff going on there.
That's why I can give Steratore a little bit of a pass.
Has there ever been a trifecta guy, though?
Ooh.
I could do a guy like high-level football, basketball, and baseball. Like, no way.
No.
Be like a third base or maybe first base or something like that. But
you wouldn't be able to fit them all in the seasons. They would all kind of blend. Yeah, you'd kind of have to pick two or go one way or the other. Well, anyway. Well, I didn't expect Ben Dreith and Gene Steratore to enter the conversation. However, the lighter side of sports, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Have you ever been to a pep rally like this? And McDonald's is getting ready to add to their menu on September 4th, and we are here to judge it for the lighter side of sports next.
Time now for The Lighter Side of Sports, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, with the two twinkle toes themselves, Gresh and Fourier.
Oh, boy. It is time for the lighter side of sports, sponsored by my great friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. And if it is time for you to make a 180 with your weight, or you want to be a part of the 20-pound summer slim down, book your consultation right now at awaken180weightloss.com. I know that we are going to use Twitch for this one, but ladies and gentlemen, let me just set a scene for you, okay? This would be about, I would say, 4,000-seat high school gymnasium. Probably a little bigger than some of the ones we would have in our region, right, Foyer? And, you know, there's a lot of lights involved. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance when football season starts in Texas. Now, what you're about to see on Twitch is what a Texas high school pep rally looks like. And what it looks like is a WWE show. So this is easily 4,000 seats. And it has a small scoreboard in the middle of the arena. And in the two corners, they have screens as well. This is more like a, this is what like the University of Delaware has for their basketball arena.
They wish.
It's like 5,000 seats or something.
You wish.
But this is a high school pep rally where, for those of you who are wrestling fans, and you know Jey Uso, and he yeets to the ring, and fans yeet, and they get their lights on their phones, and they're doing their yeet up and down with the hands and stuff. That's what this looks like, Foyer.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So this is Texas.
This is Texas.
This is Texas. And, you know, and even the captions, like high school football prep rallies in Texas, are just different. Yeah, the schools are huge. The gymnasiums are huge. The football, the stands are huge. They're bigger than, you know, some D1 schools.
Yeah.
I mean, they're huge. I mean, look at Bryant University. Look at, hell
yeah. Bryant, Delaware, those like the schools that would be in like the NEC or the CAA.
Yeah.
They're in
New Hampshire, Maine.
They're in the 4,000 to 6,000 seat range.
This is not a surprise to me at all. You can tell it's brand spanking new.
It's just unbelievable.
And the fact is, like, everybody is involved. They're all taking part.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like, oh, you know, it's stupid. No, every single person is involved.
Pretty
well. I love it, man. I love it. I wish it was like that up here, but it never will.
No, we'll never get to that. However, group in on this one, because we need Billy and Chicken Nick, and especially Billy in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, McDonald's is adding to their menu starting September the 4th. Now, I know that we do have some video accompaniment on this, but let me just start with, and boys, I'm going around the room here. The chicken Big Mac Foyer. So instead of the traditional Big Mac with the meat, you're getting what is essentially the Big Mac with the chicken that they would use in a McChicken sandwich. Your thoughts?
No, I saw the video. Not a fan. I know, but here's the thing. You put Thousand Island dressing, which is basically McDonald's like special sauce. Like, I think anything will taste really good.
Eh.
But based on the pictures that I'm seeing, I'm a no to the chicken Big Mac. Sacrilege. Don't do it again.
Yeah, I do wonder about besmirching the good GD name of the Big Mac. Billy, any take up for a Big Mac on this one?
I'm all in.
Is this... No, but what I'm saying is, are they disrespecting the traditional Big Mac by going with the chicken Big Mac?
No, because the other fast food place, you know, they have the Whopper, and they've done things to jazz that up. They've
that
done
is
different
true.
Kinds of Whopper. It's just the evolution of food. People get bored with the same thing.
All right. They're also introducing, I don't know what's next on the list of the video, the Twix McFlurry. Which is pretty simple.
Okay, that looks fabulous.
If you had the Oreo McFlurry, it's just a McFlurry with Twix.
Yeah,
fair enough.
That looks pretty good. Okay,
I was angry when I missed the Grandma's Candy McFlurry that they did.
Oh, did they really do
one?
Yeah,
it was like a butterscotch one. It looked amazing.
No kidding.
Wait, did they call it Grandma's?
It was like Grandma's Candy McFlurry, I think.
something like along that. Those lines. The old butterscotch
deal.
That's
actually pretty good.
So this is the one that I think will get Foyer excited. Mm-hmm. It's called the Philly Cheese Stack.
That looks good.
So it's basically a Philly cheesesteak on a bun from McDonald's.
That looks really good. I know that we don't have the picture up right now, but when I was just going through the pictures on my own, the chicken Big Mac, it's hard to mess up ice cream and sundaes at McDonald's.
Is it though? The machine doesn't work.
Well, that's true too. Can they guarantee me that the thing's gonna work? There it is, right here. That looks badass.
Yeah, it looks like there's like peppers and onions on there and stuff. And then they're doing the mozzarella dippers. Now, I will say this. I do not think the mozzarella stick belongs in the traditional drive-thru fast food restaurant.
That's bold.
It doesn't make sense.
Why?
Okay.
It's like a french fry.
But you're going through a drive-thru. All right, now, normally, you're going to nibble some in the car. But I'm going to wait 10 mozzarella sticks. You normally want them relatively hot.
Fast fry it.
Yeah,
get the fries quick.
No, but I can. If fries also get cold, they're not terrible. If mozzarella sticks get cold, please, you try to heat them up again, it's a waste.
Oh, cold mozzarella sticks are fine.
Oh, God, no. I don't know. Billy, where are you at on mozzarella sticks at the drive-thru?
Absolutely.
All right.
Billy's going to be a yes on everything.
Right. It's all McDonald's stuff. It's all terrible for you and absolutely delicious. the Ronald has never pointed me in a bad direction.
Yeah.
That's one clown I trust.
Do you hear that, Curtis?
the one thing that grossed me out more than anything, because I was a big McRib guy at McDonald's.
Ooh.
I love the McRib. One day, I don't know what happened. I decided to wipe off all the barbecue sauce that they have on there and just look at it for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost like...
Did you think there were actual bones in it?
It just... Yeah. I was like, this isn't real...
The rib press.
How they got the bones rib press. Out of here. Yeah.
It's like they literally put, like, you know, ground up, liquefied, nasty parts of a rib, like all the excess
stuff.
Welcome
to fast food.
Yeah, but those aren't ribs.
They're not. It's good, though.
Even if you press it in the shape of ribs with holes in them.
That's right.
I see, like, a guy in the back, like, literally pressing it in the back, like, with a panini press.
No, that's the guy cutting all the french fries.
Yeah, it's like a cookie
fresh.
Cutter.
Oh, that's Five Guys. And then they have a Galaxy McFlurry and then a Twix latte, which
I can see Twix is, like, obviously partnering up with McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's that whole group. They've always done that.
I think
Twix and Rolo and Snickers and all that. I think they might be all the same group or whatever.
And how about the Grimace Shake?
The Grimace Shake starts on August 28th, and just like the Shamrock Shake,
they
can fire that thing right in the sun.
Just a little bit of a little.
I don't need it.
You don't like the Shamrock? You never did the Shamrock Shake?
Get it out of here. I don't need it.
Stop acting shocked by Gresh's food decisions.
Yeah.
I mean,
what? That was you.
He was just out on 5-minute-old mozzarella sticks.
That's a weird thing. I feel like you would like a Shamrock Shake.
When the Grimace Shake came out last year for the short time, they became this trend where people would film themselves drinking it, and then it would cut away to them, like, laying on the ground, quote, like, dead with the shake all over them. I never understood it.
I never saw that. Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I don't know the point of it, but people getting killed, quote, by the Grimace Shake.
Feels like a Grimace bias, quite honestly.
What's the flavor like? Is the McFlurry, is the green
grape
one mint?
I think it's like grape. The other one, or the Shamrock Shake,
is it mint?
I do believe so.
Gotcha.
It's green.
Yeah, it's green. It's
green flavor.
Again, green. Chocolate vanilla, fine. I don't know.
I don't know what color purple you would throw in there. How about a Frosty?
No, those are fine.
But he won't dip the fries in it.
Nope. That's stupid.
It's amazing.
Don't know what you're missing.
Why do I want to dump salt in my ice cream?
Because it's just a salt and sweet combination.
You don't need to explain it to him.
What about like a chocolate covered pretzel? Would you eat like a flip?
No, those are my kids love those though,
they're
especially
good.
The small ones.
It's
the
little combination. It's just a sweet and salty combination.
Yeah, no. Again, I'm relatively plain.
And the ultimate sweet and salty combination that you can't stand for some reason is a PB&J.
Yeah, that's just.
Wait, will you dip
your... You know what people do who eat mushrooms or who take mushrooms now? They put the mushrooms in the peanut butter sandwich, apparently. So, like, get yourself...
That seems real dangerous.
Not why?
How much you're eating?
No. You pre-measure the mushrooms so you know how much you have as your dose, And then the way to get it down without eating the mushrooms raw, apparently, is to mix it in a peanut butter sandwich.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.